teach those that are around about us, and Father, to let our light shine so that they can see you through us. Father, we're grateful for the health that we have, that we can be here. And for those of our number, Father, we pray that you will bless them in such a way that they can regain their normal walks in this life. We're thankful that Mary Jean feels better with her knee, and Father, we're grateful to thee for the recovery of Kathy, and Father, all the others that are on me. Thank you so much, Father, for the church that meets you in this place. Help us, Father, to grow in number, and Father, to grow spiritually, that souls can be saved, and we ask you blessings upon us. Help us always, Father, to do your will. Thank you, Father, for the country in which we live, the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank you for those that protect us, whether it's the military or first responders. Father, we're grateful to have them. We pray for those in Texas that have had this terrible tragedy that happened to them this day. Father, we pray that you bless them in such a way that those will heal, that have been harmed, and Father, we pray for the families of the lost once in this ordeal. Father, we pray for those that are in the path of the hurricane. We pray for their safety, Father, and we hope that they can be safe, and help us to help them to recover in the things that they've lost, that they can have a normal walk of life. Father, thank you for our daily blessings that you give us, for the things that we need to not only live with, but even to enjoy in our lives. We know that all blessings come from you, Father, and we thank you for these things. Help us to use our blessings, Father, that we may help those that are around about us. Father, in our lives, we realize that we do sin, that we fall short of your glory. We ask you, Father, to help us to overcome our faults, and Father, forgive us of the sins that we commit. May we be really, really, truly sincere in trying to straighten our lives out, that it will be in the order that you would have us to be. We're thankful for Brother Robert and Sister Jane that works here. We pray, Father, that much good can be done by them. Watch over and care for us, not only through this service, Father, but even through our lives. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
The opportunity for us to study God's Word in a textual manner is a way of firm way, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as a result of hearing what we should believe and practice in the scripture, we find ourselves with the opportunity to grow in the way that God would have us to grow and have us to be. In this regard, we want tonight to take a look at what Jesus said about his own ministry and his own life. Remember that in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 mentions without faith it is impossible to please God. That would mean that without faith being involved in our repenting of sin. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5 tell us that we need to repent of our sins. But without faith being involved first in that matter, there's no benefit and no blessing that comes from our having changed a way of life. The same thing would be true of our being confessing the Lord. For we would see that confessing the Lord would be an important matter. But without faith in regard to that confession, without faith it's impossible to please God. That confession would be of no benefit to us at all. The same thing would be true of baptism, commanded by our Lord Jesus. condition for salvation in Mark 16:15-16, saying, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Obviously, he says, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." And the idea of believing not is the concept that nothing pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So the idea of us not having that faith in the Lord as we're baptized into Christ is significant to you and me, that we should be people faithful to God and faithful to His right way. As we think about these particular matters, let's take a look at these passages of Scripture, and as a result, look at the particular things about faith in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Believing Christ Jesus is the Son of God in that context, and He has come to be the Savior according to Luke 19 verse 10. We are people then who need to believe in Him as coming as the Son of God and as our Savior as we live this earthly life together. We find ourselves enjoying that relationship with God. But in those particular verses, where is the word repent? "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Where's the word repent? We believe in the Lord, and many religious people will teach belief in the Lord and trusting in the Lord is all the thing you need to do. But where would repentance be? Because when we turn to Luke 13, we read twice in four verses, there are three verses, in Luke 13 at verse 3 and verse 13 verse 5, "I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He was speaking regarding those that superstition thought that they suffered because they were terrible sinners. But Jesus said, no, that wasn't the cause of this particular way, but I tell you this, if you don't repent, if you don't turn around, turn away from your sins, you will likewise perish. You'll perish a terrible death because there is no real hope for you to live with God in heaven if you do not have this repentance as a part of your heart and life. As we read earlier in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, that confession of the Lord, that would not be helpful to repent of our sins. Yet repentance is definitely stated by Jesus to be something necessary unto salvation. Why did the Lord put these things in various places? We've got in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Excel you nay, except you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father in heaven." Why in Matthew and in Luke, why do we have different statements made? Would it be that the Heavenly Father wanted us to see two things? I believe it is the case. He wanted us to see that He had preserved His Word through the years, and that His Word involved Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and so forth. And for us to see the faithful words that He presented there. He wanted us to know that the importance of faith is of such nature that without it, it's impossible to please Him. And when He has the statement made in a verse and not mention a thing about faith to repent, He means for us to understand that that is nevertheless important, because it's found in another passage of Scripture. Just like in this passage of Scripture, it tells us to repent. Without fail, that's the thing expected to do. And in Matthew 10:32, without confessing the Lord, He will deny us before the Father in heaven. The idea is that you will confess me because that's important by the faith that you begin with. You, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with that faith, you move on to what else I have said. I have said for you to repent or you perish. I've said for you to confess me in order to be confessed in heaven. I've taught you to be baptized into Christ, baptized for salvation. And as a result of that, the faith itself is to move you to do that. take into consideration the overall idea of that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul writes to the brethren at Corinth, "Thou therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Goes on to say, "Old things are what? Passed away. All things are become new." When did they become new? When we came into Christ. And how do we get into Christ? Romans 6 tells us that when we're baptized into His death, we're baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life from the waters of baptism. So we find an opportunity to have that faith as we go down into that water. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, and therefore we must have faith as we repent of our sins, as we confess our faith in Him, as we're baptized in Christ, as we become new creatures. Old things will be passed away. Old way of living, old way of thinking, old way of doing. Now, we don't all have that wonderful blessing to say, "I remember everything about my life and I remember the things that are sinful about it, and therefore I've left that way of life." Simon didn't in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, he wanted to buy the power that on whomsoever I put my hands, he may receive this Holy Ghost as he did from you, Peter and John, who came down there to pray for them that they might receive this. Only they had been baptized into Christ. Now then they could have the laying on of the apostles' hands, and they could have wonderful powers, speaking languages they had never studied, perhaps do miracles in regard to the powers that they now had. And he wanted to have, as a magician in that area, and one of well renown, Simon wanted to have that power, "On whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive this Holy Spirit too." And what did Peter tell him? "Thy heart is not right with God. This is not able to be purchased with money. This is something that God determined who and what and how this would occur. And this is something that you do not have privilege to have." He, not being an apostle, not being of that number, would not be able to use these particular or have these particular things, so that he could then pass it along to others by the laying on of his hands. What's he told to do? "Repent therefore this thy wickedness." This was a wicked thing on his part to do. He had been baptized into Christ. He was enjoying that relationship till suddenly he saw the apostles come there and do these powerful things with others of whom they laid hands, and this is what he wanted to have too. The power to lay hands on and give them those powers. What would he be in his mind's eye? He would sure be somebody now, because he had the real thing. He had the real power. He had the real touch. And he had something now that would just augment and supply for the trickery that he had done in helping people to think he was a great one among them and he was a part of soothsaying at the time. He could have this sudden power, and they would just really think he was something big. He wanted that. It was a wicked thought in his mind and a wicked plan that he had in his mind. And Peter said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God." And the word used in the King James Version is, "If perhaps the thought of thine heart." If perhaps. Now, the Lord was wont to look at that heart and see that that's the way that it is. That he's serious about saying this. That he'll say, "Pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken will come upon me." There's no indication that he was just saying those words. There's every indication that he was sincere in saying them. "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things you've spoken will come upon me." You are evil against God. You don't have part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right with God. This gift of God could not be purchased with money, Simon. Why are you thinking this way? Well, we go back to what he was before. Why was he thinking that way? He was thinking that way because of the great ways that he tricked the people into thinking he was a great one among them. He had powers to do things that they didn't recognize was just a show and just a magical art. As a result of that, he was considered to be very high among them. But now then, he was told to repent and pray God. He asked Simon Peter, "Pray to the Lord for me." Not that Simon was any prayerful more so than Peter and John or any of the others that were there. But he knew that this was a statement directly made to him by Simon Peter. "And now then, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of this you've spoken will come upon me." He wanted to be in heaven rather than otherwise. He wanted to be in God's favor rather than rejected of God. And because of that, where was his faith now? Well, his faith was in his choice to be baptized into Christ. He had violated the faith that he had by the offer that he made of money and by his wanting to get that power now to be in his hands. He was told that this old way of life he had not given up. And that old way of life, we're taught about this, if any man be in Christ, Paul writes to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. "Now therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new." There may be some things of which we're very aware. We ought not to lie anymore. We ought not to cheat anymore. We ought not to be people of vulgarity. We ought not to worship idols anymore. Things of that nature. We might be people who were alert and aware of it, but not be aware that money can be an idol, and we can be controlled by the pursuit of funds and monies, and therefore get back into idolatry. Simon was of that nature. He got back into a way of life that he was pursuing without God, without God's way, and this was wicked against God. Repent, turn away from this, and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Where had this been done? It had been done within himself. He wanted this power, and he wanted it for a reason of vanity within his heart. He was not going to be right with God, and this was not going to be given to him by the apostles. And he needed to repent, and he did so. You know, there are a lot of people in the church these days that they're not as earnest as Simon. It's used in the Bible as an example throughout the rest of time. Luke wrote this down in Luke, writing in the book of Acts. "The former treatise, Theophilus, I wrote unto thee of the things for certain that Christ both began to teach and to do." Now here's the message that Luke writes down in the book of Acts about this man and his life. And he had gone back to an old way. There are brethren today that find themselves going back to an old way. And it's hidden from others. There are few people who are aware of it. Few people know about it. And few people will have it unveiled. And we're taught in the scripture to remember that there is no such thing as sin that is to be hidden away and done away with just of its own. It takes the blood of Christ in order to cleanse us of sin, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace." The richness of God's grace comes down to us and cleanses us from our sins by the blood of Christ. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." It is through the blood of Christ that we find that pardon from our sins of days gone by. Now then, we come into Christ by being baptized into Christ. We become new creatures. Old things being passed away. all things become dim. When we talk about this way of life, we're talking about a way of life that has an eternal blessing for it. And we do not need to be people who do not repent and pray God's forgiveness that we went back to an old way of life, practiced that old way of life. Though they didn't know about it, they weren't aware of it. God is very much aware of it. And if I die in that condition, I cannot hide that from the Lord. In the days of their crossing over into the promised land, there were those of the Israelites that wished to remain on the west side of Jordan. And it's noted to them, be ye sure that you need to come and battle with us. We're going to have a battle. We're going to have to fight against these who are idolatrous people in this land. And God will give us victory. We will conquer this land. But there will be some trying times. And you are promising now to go with us in order to have this land here on the east side of Jordan. And then it is said, and they promise, oh yes, we will. If you do not carry out this promise, be ye sure your sins will find you out. That message has been going on with our moms and dads and all. One this afternoon was talking about the peach tree and the peach limb and the swinging of it, that would be done to remind her not to do this way of practice anymore in their days. And she yet remembers those times. We would remember them. And the message for you and me is a message that we need to remember. If we go back to that old way of life, be sure our sins will find us out. And we could go on and on with the ways that they suddenly find us out. In our day and time, there's a lot of things that can be seen by others and known by others and known that way, but that's another lesson for another day and time. Our faith in the Lord is to be the kind of faith that in this great plan of salvation brings us to be a new creature. Old things being passed away and all things becoming new. What a blessing it is. Are you subject to Jesus' invitation tonight? We'll stop and pray with you that you may be returned to that great love that you began in serving the Lord and having that forgiveness of sin. If you've not ever enjoyed that forgiveness of sin, your repentance and baptism into Christ will bring that about, a new person you will be. Won't you come to Him as we stand together and as we sing tonight?
Holding up His banner in the thickest fire, listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love? Leading others to Him and lifting prayers above. Courage in His servant, in His word we see. On our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make
again, Father, as we continue, Father, we pray that who takes of this fruit of the vine, what represents that precious blood, and take it matter, place in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture are announced, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Pray that you would test them and keep them safe.